reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the rule of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, Herod tetrarch of Galilee, Philip his brother tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God was spoken to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went about the entire region of the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance, which led to the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. The herald's voice in the desert crying, "Make ready the way of the Lord, clear him a straight path. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be leveled. The winding shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all humankind shall see the salvation of God." Make ready the way of the Lord, John the Baptist exuberantly quotes the prophet Isaiah. Advent is a time of preparing for a king's entrance, and not just any king, the king. Luke takes pains to place this king in the context of all the other kings of the day. In the 15th year of the rule of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, Herod tetrarch of Galilee, etc. And after Jesus is baptized by John, Luke recounts Jesus' ancestry, which includes none other than King David. This is the long-awaited Messiah. The King of Glory comes. Get out the royal purple banners. But it doesn't stop with purple banners. Make ready the way of the Lord. Clear him a straight path. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be leveled. The winding shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all humankind shall see the salvation of God. You think construction on our subway here in Los Angeles is tough. This sounds like quite a construction project, and all for the glorious entrance of the King. John is heralding the king who is all grown now and ready to rule. Of course, we're also waiting for the earlier coming of the king as a child on Christmas. But most of all, we prepare for his cosmic coming at the end of time. And that line sounds like the most massive construction project of all. This project is about making a straight path to our hearts, filling in the valleys of our despair, and leveling the mountains of our pride and self-reliance. John the Baptist proclaimed a baptism of repentance. That's the hardest kind of preparation there is. And I thought repentance was for Lent, the other purple season. We probably shouldn't do much repenting the rest of the year. We wouldn't want to make it a habit. But a little repentance during Advent couldn't hurt, I guess, especially if you read the uncensored version of today's gospel passage. John the Baptist says to the crowds who come to him to be baptized, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming retribution? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, as even now the axe is being laid to the root of the trees, so that any tree failing to produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." In today's passage from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, he prays that we might be ready for Christ's coming. "My prayer is that your love may more and more abound, both in understanding and wealth of experience, so that with a clear conscience and blameless conduct, you may learn to value the things that really matter up to the very day of Christ." He prays that we might learn to value the things that really matter. That sounds like a terrific way to focus our repentance this Advent. What really matters? A full explanation of the Tiger Woods mystery? The even less likely complete makeover of Afghanistan? That added with the apparently forgotten task of reforming our domestic security practices, not to mention the overall foreign policy and global poverty and other injustices that engender or at least fan the flames of terrorism? what really matters? Even if we could accomplish perfect national security, is that what really matters? Does our own security matter more than the security of our sisters and brothers in the rest of the world? Not that their security and ours are necessarily in conflict. What matters most in our preparation for Christ's coming again? How can our love more and more abound? It is my wish, St. Paul says, that you may be found rich in the harvest of justice which Jesus Christ has ripened in you to the glory and praise of God. The harvest of justice. That's the true fruit of repentance that John the Baptist calls for. Make ready the way of the Lord, and all humankind shall see the salvation of God. When I first typed humankind at the beginning of my homily, I accidentally used my left middle finger instead of my right to type the last letter, and I got human king. Humankind is a race of kings and queens, all of us robed in purple dignity. From the inner city jails in Los Angeles to the wealthy palaces of the Hollywood Hills, from the 9/11 survivors in New York to the terrorists in Afghanistan, oh, and the many, many places they live all over the world, surely including right here in L.A., even from rich golfers and their wives, children, mistresses, and lawyers to desperate paparazzi and their wives, children, mistresses, and lawyers, we are all kings and queens, helping each other prepare for the coming of the king. This is what really matters, and it may take longer than 18 months or 10 years or 100 or however long we plan or don't plan on being at war. This worldwide humankind, human kings and queens project of making a straight path in our hearts for the king will take all our efforts, all our resources, all the cooperation we can muster. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice from God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. We are promised purple robes, each of us graced with the infinite dignity of kings and queens. This is the promise. This is the project that really matters. And the King of Kings, by his coming, will finish the project, making a straight path to our hearts, filling in the valleys of our despair, and leveling the mountains of our pride and self-reliance. I am sure of this much, St. Paul insists, that he who has begun the good work in you will carry it through to completion.